plans. Points can't be earned in New York, New Jersey, or Arkansas. Other restrictions and limitations apply.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium will be the home for Super Bowl 53, February 3rd, 2019.
The Super Bowl in Atlanta plays here. WZGC Atlanta, WZGC HD1, a radio.com station.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
It is the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Big news today as we look ahead will be Bruce Irvin and his first day in Flowery Branch and addressing the media. Irvin expected to be on the field and working out with the Atlanta Falcons ahead of the game Sunday with the Cleveland Browns. Also expected on the field today, Deion Jones. So things really looking up from that perspective for the Atlanta Falcons.
From what I've heard, Deion's going to be running more scout team, though. He's going to be the scout team player. He's not going to run with the ones because, they're still bringing him along slowly, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but I'm still thrilled that he's going to be back out
there. Oh, yeah. You're not the only one, John. I'm pretty sure his teammates are as well. You know, you get a guy back, you get a healthy guy back, and, you know, you've held the fort for as long as you have, and now you can get back to a little as normal as you possibly can under these circumstances. That's a good thing.
Yeah, you think about Thursday. You know, I know we have – Look, I'm not jumping anything because it is one game at a time, but pardon me, I can't help but think about Thanksgiving night down in the swamp with the idea of Bruce Irvin, Deion Jones, the Saints killer, and now Dez Bryant on the other side of the ball, and how that game is going to be so much different than it may have been and was in Week 3 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We look forward to college football. Not much on the college football docket tonight. There is a gigantic NFL game, the Panthers and Steelers tonight. It's on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Go Steelers, go. But not much on the college docket tonight. Wake Forest plays NC State. However, a lot of the big-name teams this week, Hugh, play really key games in terms of, you know, playing ranked opponents. For example, Alabama plays Mississippi State, and everybody just dismisses it. And maybe they should, Hugh, considering what they did to LSU. You know, do you really think Mississippi – but let's not underplay the fact that Mississippi State also is ranked in the top 25.
Yeah, I mean, they are, John, but knowing what we know about Coach Saban, do you really think that after that LSU game and what they were able to go down to Baton Rouge and do, that he's going to allow his team to have a misstep against Mississippi State? Not saying that it can't happen.
No, I don't think he is.
Not saying that it can't happen.
I'm not trying to sit here and predict anything other than I'm just saying that it is interesting that they do play a ranked team. I mean, what if they get caught peeking? I mean, could they get caught peeking to Auburn because they know what happened last year? Could they get caught peeking to the SEC championship game, which they've already locked down? Could they get caught peeking to the college football playoff in their desire to have yet another national title and make it back to back? I don't know, Hugh. Could you get caught slipping in that regard? I don't think so, but
I think over the years, Coach Saban has done a great job. If one thing he's done a great job of, John, outside of winning, is keeping his team focused. And for whatever reason, those guys do not believe their press clippings for the most part, and Alabama doesn't have too many missteps. I mean, that's the one team you can honestly look at and say, they're not going to – you know how you have somebody, like on the schedule, they have trap games.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not going to fall for that banana in the tailpipe. They're not that type of team.
All right, how about number two, Clemson? All right, let's set this up. We're talking about college football and, you know, potential of upsets that could rock the college football playoff poll, you know, between now and the end of the year. I mean, we have, in many cases, 3 to 4 regular season games that remain before we'll get the playoff committee to give us the final four. And last 2 weeks ago, 11 ranked teams lost. Last week, 9 ranked teams lost. How many ranked teams will lose this week? And most importantly, in the top 10, and even more importantly inside that, in the top 6. All right, so Alabama plays a ranked team in Mississippi State, but they're at home. Clemson goes on the road to play a ranked team at Chestnut Hill against Boston College. Now, I hadn't spent a whole lot of time watching Boston College this year. I did catch quite a bit of their last game. I will say now that A.J. Dillon, their star running back, is back, that BC is not going to be an easy out. Clemson is finally going to have a test. I'm not saying Clemson isn't going to win the game, Hugh, but Clemson has had a pretty easy run of it of late. They have played some pretty bad teams, and it's not their fault that Florida State's no good. It's not their fault that Louisville's no good, because if you looked at the beginning of the year, they say, hey, Florida State, Louisville, Boston College, which one of those three is going to be the easy one? They would have said Boston College, but as it turns out, it is by far the most difficult.
Yeah, you're talking about 4-1 in conference, John, 7-2 overall, and they're undefeated at home. So that's and I think Clemson goes there, if I'm not mistaken. Clemson goes to Boston.
Gonna be
so that's
going to
be
hell.
A tough one. Yeah, man. It's going to be a little nippy. It's going to be a little nippy up north.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that with the weather's going to be.
I mean, you know, and I know people say, oh, it shouldn't matter. You know, you're a football player. You're right. It shouldn't. But it does. Like, I remember vividly certain teams that we would play, we used to love, as a player, used to love to watch the teams where guys would come out, especially the skilled players. And they're all covered up, you know what I mean? And because they're all worried about the cold and they're huddled up like a bunch of deer and they're worried about the cold. That could potentially be a factor.
It says Boston upper 40s, wind chill in the upper 30s.
Yeah, that's a nice little up north, East Coast type weather situation.
Yeah, that's for Saturday. Clemson goes to Boston College. Now, Clemson really can't afford, in my opinion, Hugh, here's where Clemson gets in a box. Clemson's played great football. I'm not denying that they are one of the four best teams in the nation. However, the ACC is the lowest rated conference in the nation this year, okay? They're rated behind every other conference. And the fact that the ACC had such a disappointing year from teams like Miami and Florida State and Louisville, sort of their big name teams have, you know, fallen off the map here. The fact that, you know, the best teams not named Clemson are Boston College, Syracuse, for example. Those are the best teams. There's nobody else in their conference for them to be a marker against that may end up kind of costing them in this regard. If they lose a game to Boston College,
they're out.
I think they may be out.
Yeah, yeah. There's no question about that. They're right now, Clemson is representing the whole ACC as a whole, because you're talking about Florida State, which has been a huge disappointment. Syracuse had looked like they had Clemson on the ropes earlier in the season.
Right.
Clemson, you know, got past them. This is going to be a big test for them. Boston College is second in the rankings behind them in the ACC. So you're talking about a team that you can't potentially lose to them. Again, with the way that they're playing right now, I don't see that happening. Clemson is one of those teams, John, that when we talk about this whole college football playoff, they've been quietly going about their business. And nobody's really been, you know, discussing them a whole lot. They've just been going out there playing good football.
I think if they get past Boston College, they end up going to the playoff unbeaten. I think this is their big test. And I think what we saw earlier in the year, now granted, you're right. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is a better player than it was earlier in the year. But what you saw when Clemson went to Texas A&M, Texas A&M had them beat. Texas A&M could have won the game. And so, you know, I look at Boston College and think that that's going to be kind of the challenge they get this week too. If Clemson is the number two team in the nation, there comes a show-me moment in any season. Last week, Alabama gave you the show-me moment. Everybody's saying, okay, you hadn't played anybody, show me. They went to LSU and they showed us. Clemson may have that show-me moment this Saturday at Boston College, and that'd be fine if they do, but they're going to have to get past that one. But I'm not going to be sitting here and I'm not going to be shocked if all of a sudden we're going, uh-oh, what now? BC just beat Clemson. I'm not going to be shocked. I'm not sure how to read this game.
I'll tell you, if that happens, John, then I think Michigan is if they take care of their business, they're a solid lock. And I would not be surprised if Georgia creeps into the conversation once again.
Well, Georgia's
sitting at number five.
Yeah, Georgia's in the conversation in the sense that if they win out, they're in.
No. What I'm saying is if Clemson loses, then Georgia moves up. Georgia's in that.
Georgia moves up. Yeah, no question of that.
And so it's one of those.
If they beat Auburn.
I think they're going to beat Auburn. If we're taking early predictions for the game, I'm taking Georgia over Auburn right now.
All right, so you have Alabama, you have Clemson, and you have Georgia, three top five teams this week that all play teams, you know, that are in their conference. In the
that
case
they
of
can
Georgia,
potentially lose to
that are all ranked, and in the case of Georgia, you're playing one of your rivals. So I just think that makes it interesting that they're all playing ranked teams, and they're all playing, in the case of Georgia, a rival. So that'll make that it. Now, if you look at the other two teams that are in the top five, Notre Dame plays at home against Florida State. And again, at the beginning of the year, this is one thing I have to be careful about with Notre Dame. You can't fault Notre Dame for their schedule if Florida State stinks.
You got to play who you play.
Yeah, well, you schedule
and
them.
Florida State was ranked at the beginning of the season, weren't they?
You know, or close to it, yes.
Yeah.
And Florida State is Willie Taggart's team has just been decimated here. I don't think anybody thinks that Florida State can go to South Bend and win.
Anything's possible. But if I was a betting man, no, I'm not betting on that.
And, of course, we don't know who's going to be starting a quarterback for Florida State. Blackman played well enough that I think I would start James Blackman over DeAndre Francois.
And not only that, you're talking about it kind of feels like now at Florida State, like even the players aren't really buying into what Coach Taggart is selling a little bit, John.
Yeah, I know you get that sense.
It's a little bit of that. And to his credit, to his defense, Coach Taggart, this has kind of been his MO the first year that he's been wherever he's been. Mm-hmm. It's been kind of a rough season for him. So you got to give him – I think that you have to give him a chance and an opportunity to kind of turn this thing around. But I know Florida State fans aren't trying to hear that because going into this thing, coming into this thing for him, they had talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the biggest thing that killed them last year was the fact that DeAndre Francois got hurt at the beginning of the season. So it's one of those things where I understand you got a new head coach, you got a new philosophy and everything, but Florida State fans aren't buying the fact that, you know, this is a down year because you had talent on this team. And you just have to figure out a way to get guys to buy into it. But I don't think wholeheartedly that when it started to go south, I think the players started to question Coach Taggart's methods.
Yeah, well, and of course their offensive line got decimated. But if you're Florida State, you do have a couple things to play for. You are 4-5. You can still get to a bowl, and you have this showdown with Notre Dame. You have a showdown with Florida, so you can kind of make something out of your season still if you kind of bow your neck and get out there and get after it. And if you were able to knock Notre Dame off and knock them from being unbeaten and take them out of the college playoff, because let's understand one thing. Notre Dame loses a game, they're not making it. Notre Dame has to, because they don't have two reasons. One, because they haven't had wins that have been elevated them to that kind of status. And number two, they don't have those kind of quality wins. It's not their fault. It's just the way their schedule worked. And number two, they don't play a conference title game. And Hugh, that really hurts Notre Dame in the long run, that they don't have that additional point to be able to sell to the – so if they lose, they're out.
Yeah, but they got that worldwide appeal.
Yeah, they still lose, they're out. I'm telling you, the 11-1 Notre Dame team doesn't make it. I just don't see it. You don't have that lack of conference title game just kills you.
You know, I would agree with that, John, but still, I think that they wouldn't fall that far. I definitely don't think they would fall that far. If Notre Dame had one loss, I mean, who are you putting up in there? What – I don't have the rankings in front of me. I know Michigan would probably move to the third.
Washington State would move ahead of them.
I don't know if anybody wants to see Washington State.
Yeah, well, whether they want to see them, they still move ahead of them.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, they'd have better quality wins, State. And especially if they beat Washington in the Apple Cup. I mean,
so. Well, that's coming up this week too, correct? The Apple Cup this week?
No,
next week.
You know, coming up later on.
Okay.
You know, so they have the Bedlam is this week, Oklahoma State. And by the way, that's an interesting game for Oklahoma. There's a team that's sitting on the outside looking in. West Virginia has to play TCU. Keep this in mind about Oklahoma and West Virginia. Oklahoma and West Virginia have to play each other twice, back-to-back, because they play the last regular season game of the year against each other.
And then they got
to
play in the
conference title game.
Yeah.
So if one of those two teams beats the other twice – yeah, they're in.
And you know what? You talk back about the Florida State and what they have at the end of the season, potentially making a bowl game. That might be kind of tough for them, because after this game against Notre Dame, mm-hmm. they got Boston College and Florida.
Oh, two.
So,
oh, okay.
It might be kind of tough.
Yeah, that might be kind of tough.
It might be kind of tough for Florida to make a bowl game.
Yeah, that may be a little bit difficult. I ain't going to lie. Talking about college football, who should be on upset alert this weekend as we kind of look at the college football playoff thing? We have a poll this morning asking you because – look, here's the fact of the matter. We're going into the fifth year of the college football playoff. Do you know that in the fifth year of the college football playoff, only 9 teams have made the college football playoff? That's it, just 9.
Yeah, and that's why I find it hilarious when the committee says they don't want the same teams. You know, they don't want repeats or rematches. Dude, it's only been a handful of teams that have been in it.
Right.
It's only been a handful of teams, so it's like – it's one of those things where you can't help but to have certain rematches.
Well, Alabama's made it every year, all 4. Clemson's made it 3 of the 4 years. Ohio State and Oklahoma have made it 2 of the 4 years. And then there's been 1 appearance each for Georgia, Oregon, Florida State, Washington, and Michigan State. Michigan State wants to forget its appearance.
Oh, yeah, they got boat race, didn't they?
Yeah, it was like 38-0 or something
like
that.
That was not
a pretty thing. Clemson beat the dog.
It would be interesting. Out of the 3 teams that we talked about, John, that they're playing teams in their conference, out of the 3 teams that we talked, it was Alabama. Who else? It was Alabama, Clemson,
mm-hmm.
and who else was it? I forgot
well,
the third.
About
the 2-3 teams that this weekend that could potentially lose.
Oh, Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia.
I mean, they're all playing ranked teams.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about Georgia. But out of those 3 teams, if you were if you were taking a bet on who would lose this weekend, out of those three that we just mentioned, who do you think has the best chance of losing this weekend?
Oh, man. I don't think Alabama's going to lose, so it's either Georgia or Clemson. I like Georgia at home. I would say Clemson because
I was thinking the same thing.
They're going on the road.
Boston College. You're going up. You're going up north.
It's going to be chilly.
Yes.
It's going to be windy. It's going to be winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. That means the running game comes into effect.
And we've seen this Clemson team get off to slow starts before. Mm-hmm. We've seen them get off to slow starts. As a matter of fact, they've squeaked out a couple wins. They squeaked out, what you say, against A&M and the win against Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
Syracuse had them on the rope. So I would say out of the three teams that we were talking about for this weekend.
I'm not saying any of them are going to lose, but if
No, I'm saying I know. Yeah, that's the one that I would pick.
Because
just curious about that.
You know, and as much as Auburn fans and you War Eagle fans want to think that you can, and you can. I mean, nobody can impact the college football playoff any more in the nation than Auburn because they play Alabama and Georgia. Here's the thing that I would be concerned about if I'm going up to Georgia. You're going, wait a second. You're going, look at how we played LSU. Look at how Georgia played LSU. Yeah, okay, that was a couple of games ago. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but Georgia against Florida, and then last week they kind of found their footing, and DeAndre Swift is healthy, and Georgia kind of realizes the mistake that they made. Sort of like what happened with Georgia last year when they made that huge mistake playing you, and they got worked in the regular season, and how did that fare for you in the SEC title game? I think Georgia's back to kind of, okay, we get what we need to do, and the fact that they're at home, yeah.
I agree almost with everything that you're saying except for one thing, John Freaky. I think that Notre Dame could still potentially get in with one loss. I really, really do.
And maybe just it collapses around them, they do. And I guess that's possible. I wouldn't want to take that gamble if I'm Notre Dame.
Well, no, you don't, but I just think that their popularity is huge.
And it depends on who you lose to. If you lose to Florida State, people are going to
go. No, that's going to be bad.
Yeah. Losing to Purdue is not as bad as losing to Florida State. Actually, that's true, sadly. Hey, if you're going to be watching the Falcons game, you need a place to go. The official watch party for the Browns and Falcons, the Public House in Jonesboro. Sunday at noon, prizes, cheerleaders, Freddie the Falcons. Sunday noon, Public House in Jonesboro. When we continue, more in college football. In the notebook, Paul Johnson, what does he say about his showdown with the Miami Hurricanes? Next. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. College football, we've been talking about, you know, who could potentially be kind of the upset team. Let's take a minute or two and look at some of the big games coming up for us locally. It's going to be a big Saturday night because at 7 o'clock Saturday night, you're going to have kickoff at the Flats and kickoff between the Hedges at the same time in two key games. Now, maybe they're not as big as we expected they would be at the beginning of the year, given the struggles of the opponents, but for Georgia Tech, a chance to finish the season strong. Tech is starting to play some of its better football of the year, and Hugh, you can look back on a couple of very disappointing losses for the Jackets, the Pittsburgh game, for example, the South Florida game, and think of what this season could have been for Georgia Tech. Or you could just say, okay, we're 5-4, we're where we're at, and now here come the Miami Hurricanes. Let's do this on Saturday night and see if we can't finish strong. I mean, you do have a chance to play Miami and Georgia down the stretch.
And not only that, John, you can get some get back for that game from last year,
mm-hmm.
when you lost it in the, like, was it last 5 minutes or so of the game?
In the rain. Dwayne,
yeah, in the rain. Yeah, you get some
give
get back,
give up that
man.
Fourth down
yeah.
pass, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, you matched up well with them last year, so I'm pretty sure a lot of kids will be thinking about that. I'm pretty sure Coach Johnson will be thinking about that. So you get some get back in this game.
You know, is Mark Richt already on the hot seat? Here's what's happened with Miami.
If you ask John Michaels, he is.
If you think about what happened to them last year, what they got off to that, what was it, a 10-0 start, something like that?
Yeah, and they started that whole
turnover chain.
They started the whole craze about the turnover everything. Then everybody had one. Turnover pads, turnover hat, turnover trash can. Turnover duffel bag, like whatever.
Chair.
All that stuff. They started all that stuff. It was cool. Even my little school got in on the little thing, man. They had a turnover necklace. They had a marauder necklace with the two, it had like two swords or something. And I was like, wow, ain't nobody going to be wearing that a whole lot not in my school because they were taking a whole lot of L's. So, yeah.
Not getting a lot of turnovers.
No, not getting a lot of W's.
Yeah, Mark Richt started off, he was the toast of Miami, you know, returning back to his alma mater, and that is Richt's alma mater. Has them, I believe, at 10-0, if I'm not mistaken, last year, and ranked in the top two or three, and everybody talking about the return of the Miami Hurricanes. And then it just disintegrated on him at the end of the year last season, and this season has been maybe the most disappointing team in the nation in some regards. Miami 5-4 this season, and looking back on the three losses at the end of last year, after a 10-0 start, Mark Richt is 5-7 in his last 12 games. So Richt is under a little bit of fire. When I say the hot seat, I mean, they're not going to get rid of him. They paid him too much money.
But they're disappointed because this season got off to a terrible start for Miami.
And remember, they were in the top 10.
Terrible. They were ranked 10. Number 8. Mm-hmm. I think they were number 8.
I think you're right.
They were terrible, like a terrible start to the season.
They played LSU in that opening game and never recovered. And now they find themselves at 5-4. Mark Richt returns to Georgia to face Paul Johnson, and the Tech head coach talking about facing his old nemesis.
And he and I are kind of both offensive coaches, so it's a little different. We're not, our teams as head coaches have played each other, but we've really kind of gone against the other guys on the other side as far as calling plays and those kind of things.
Yeah, well, they do have different philosophies. And for Miami, a quarterback-driven philosophy hasn't worked out because their quarterbacks have been bad, not close to good. Rozier's terrible. And so unless Mark Richt can get a quarterback in there, Hugh, to run his system, he's going to continue to struggle. And you got guys like John Michaels, who is as big a Hurricanes fan as I've ever met in my entire life, who are saying they already want to get rid of him, no matter what it costs.
Yeah, because they're looking at some of the things that he's doing with this team, and it just feels like it got stagnant. It almost feels like for Miami that you got that first season, everything was going well, kumbaya, and then – well, not the first season, the second season. Then everything was going well, and then all of a sudden, the wheels just fell off the wagon.
Right. Mark Richt wagon kind of falls apart. 5-4, and if Miami's not careful, they won't even make a bowl this year. But that's a 7 o'clock kick at the flat. So for Georgia Tech, though, here it is. They're 5-4. How different 5-4s look. Miami's 5-4 is not a good look. Georgia Tech's 5-4 is a hopeful look. That if they can beat Miami and beat Virginia, which, by the way, they can beat Virginia.
But,
go to that Georgia game 7-4 and roll in a little bit.
I will say this about Georgia Tech's 5-4 and Miami's. It's expectations are a lot different, John. I think, and this is no disrespect to Georgia Tech fans, especially the one that's here in the studio with us. But I think that when you look at Georgia Tech, whether you want to admit it or not, you kind of know they are what they are. They're going to have this kind of up and down season. Miami is a different story. When you talk about the history of that program and everything. Not saying that Georgia Tech does not have a rich history. I'm trying to be careful in what I'm saying, but the expectations for Georgia Tech are totally different than they are for a team like the Miami Hurricanes.
And Paul Johnson talking about the ACC and how after Clemson, it's pretty much everybody's everybody.
Most everybody in our league. It's pretty similar with the exception of one team that's clearly better than everybody else. And, so we won the games that we could have won the two league games that we lost. We just turned the ball over and didn't make plays.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Georgia Tech is the architect of its own demise. They are their own worst enemy.
And you know what's funny? I can remember vividly Clemson working extremely hard to change the way that people viewed them. And now they do. Clemson is considered a powerhouse.
You mean not Clemsoning anymore?
Yes. Exactly what I'm talking about. They worked hard to change that philosophy. It just feels to me outside of a handful of teams in the ACC, no disrespect to the conference, let me put that out there, but it just feels to me like – and there's nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong with this. Education is more important than winning football games, which is how it should be to certain people. That's all I'm saying. It just feels like that's more of the focus for some teams in the ACC. Nobody about to touch that one.
Well, I'm just thinking, there's schools where you can do both. I mean, Stanford, you can do both.
But it's some schools that emphasis is more so on athletics than it is academics.
That's true.
And I don't have a problem with Georgia Tech being exactly where they are. because most of those cats on Georgia Tech are going to walk off that football field and walk into some really damn good jobs.
And it is more difficult to be one of the private schools in the ACC.
Yes.
Though yeah. Duke has a pretty good basketball program nonetheless. But the private schools like Duke and Wake Forest, Georgia
I mean, it's
Tech.
More like education?
Well, but Miami's a private school too. So, I mean.
I mean, that's what I say. Some schools, John. I said some schools with the exception of a few.
Right.
But, man, I'm telling you, I mean, you know, I wouldn't. Hey, listen. When my son going to Georgia Tech or Duke and playing sports and coming out and being a productive, high-earning individual, wouldn't mind that as a parent. Wouldn't mind that at all.
What was the old chant? That's all right. That's okay.
Okay, you're gonna work for us one day or something like that. Yeah, I heard that before. I mean, I'm saying. I mean, listen. And I know a lot of people, folks, probably ain't trying to hear that. They ain't trying to hear that. But as a parent, my son goes. If Duke offered my son a scholarship, first of all, I'm jumping up and down because
oh, yeah?
I know it's expensive to go to Duke.
Damn right.
And if he's playing football, that's even better.
Uh-huh.
You know, pros might not be in his future. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But we know he's going to get a good education, and he's going to come out, and he's going to be a productive young man. So, yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool with all that.
Yeah,
cool with all that.
Hey, so to our conversation in this hour, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, which of the our poll today at 929 The Game and talking about it on Facebook is which college football playoff contender that has not been in the playoff yet would you like to see make it this year, okay? And here are the four contenders that have not been in the playoff yet that you'd like to see make it this year. You just pick one of them. You want to see Washington State and Mike Leach in there. Do you want to see West, by God, Virginia, and their star quarterback, Will Grier? Do you want to see Notre Dame make it because Notre Dame hasn't made it yet? Do you want to see Michigan make it for the first time with Jim Harbaugh?
I want to see Michigan. I voted for Michigan. I kind of want to see Notre Dame. I have no desire from an entertainment standpoint to see West Virginia in the four-team playoff. I just don't. It just does not seem like that would be an exciting brand of football that would bring the masses to want to watch that.
Yeah, well, it might be a great game because they can score.
I mean, you know, who's the quarterback?
Will Grier.
He used to be at Florida. He used to be at Florida?
Yeah, and he'll be up at
Florida, yeah.
I guarantee you he'll be up at that Heisman ceremony.
You think so?
I think it's here. Well, I guarantee you this is probably a strong word. You've been pretty close. Yeah, I mean, because right now, you look at the.
And I say this, and part of the reason why I wouldn't think West Virginia would be a good draw, because, you know, you really don't get a chance to see too many West Virginia teams play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because we're down here in SEC country.
Right.
But I just don't see, when you talk about the teams that are currently fighting to get in, I don't see West Virginia, from my perspective, being able to hang.
Well, we're certainly going to be able to get a good look at them if you haven't had a chance because, again, as mentioned, they're going to end up playing Oklahoma back-to-back. And so those games are going to be both very visible. They'll play them in the last regular season game of the year. Well, okay, I say that. I always have to couch myself. The conference championship games are regular season games. They're not postseason games. So they play the last scheduled regular season game against Oklahoma. Then they'll finish their regular season in the Big 12 title game against Oklahoma because they're going to play them twice, back-to-back, no less. Or do you want to just see it go chalk? Do you want to see Alabama play Clemson again for the fourth time? Some people do.
I want to see them play each other in the first round.
Nah, that probably won't happen.
I'm just saying. You asked me a question.
I know.
And I answered it.
I would like it if it did because that means we wouldn't have to watch those two play again for the title.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, we always get to that point in the show, don't we? Where we venture into the area known as Hughes World.
Yes, it's Potpourri Thursday. Well, I had two things on my mind. You know, I didn't get that phone call yesterday. It was something that happened in the national media yesterday where I didn't get a phone call. And it's an icon messing up their brand. I'll tell you more about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bruh.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind
of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by Camus. Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
Now, first, I kind of want to give a shout out to my man, but I'm a little torn too because I don't know how he fit the bill for this award that he got.
Really?
But Idris Elba yesterday was named People's Sexiest Man Alive.
Oh, 2018. Come on, seriously?
And he was basically just like an ego booster for real. He said, "What did he think of himself when he got the honor?" He was like, "Come on now, really?" He said the actor tells people in this week's cover story. He said he looked in the mirror and checked himself out and said, was like, yeah, you are kind of a sexy today. But to be honest, it was just a nice feeling. It was a nice surprise and an ego boost for sure.
Uh-huh.
My thing is this. My phone didn't even ring, John Freaking. Well, they didn't even call me.
Hugh, I got bad news for you.
When's
for
the
having
last time you looked at
we're having Darryl, a sexiest you man at 929. You're not winning that either.
Darryl, you say something. But then I think I need to get my own award, man.
Yeah, because you're not even winning the radio station award.
I know, I do believe I'm the sexiest caveman 2018. I think I can pull that
one. You may be the only one.
Yeah.
According to an Instagram poll of your selfie.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Yeah, sexiest.
So sexiest caveman.
Don't post a picture with a towel, okay? No,
John, why we got to bring up past stuff, dog? I thought we got past that. Okay.
Then there's that.
I went through a thought phase. I went through was being a little thottish.
You went through?
You want to explain going. What that phase was, Hugh?
Okay,
for
I took it. Okay, fine, Wendy. Yes. I took a few pictures with towels on because I came from the gym and I was like looking. Yeah, I had a couple towel pictures. A couple towel pictures.
Did you delete them?
No, yeah. They're still up on there.
Yep, you tried them.
But
that's not awkward.
Hey,
it's his page. Who would, yeah, people shouldn't be on his page.
Like, who would be sexiest man at 929 the game?
Me?
Yeah, Jarvis?
Me? Sexiest K man.
Oh
no
my
doubt.
Gosh, we should do a sexiest man alive yes. at 929 the
we
game.
We should.
I don't want no part of that.
We should.
I'm not qualified to be in there.
Oh, this is amazing.
Look at now you got Whitney's head.
Now,
yeah,
now everyone's going to be competing.
I don't know. John might be stiff competition.
I'm good. I'm good.
Since he's wearing the beard and all right now.
It is not me.
Do I need to take photos of everybody? And
I don't want
to
be a part of it. I'm telling you that now.
No, this is happening.
No, Darryl, you're going to be. We can pull some old Darryl. We can pull some pictures of Darryl when he's doing the groove.
Do not back this at all.
That's okay. You don't have to. We're doing it anyway.
You know what? You're gonna lower your voice.
We're going live.
The station's sexiest man alive.
Well, can we do that for the women? Would that be fair? We wouldn't see that. That's what I'm saying. Let's not do that. Let's not. No, it's not two of you. It's people that work in promotions too.
We're gonna do it.
In sales.
We're going live, Darryl.
I was doing on air, guys.
Nah, we're not doing that. If we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it. Cause it's some cold girls in promotions.
Look at him. Praise God. Look at him.
Yeah, he ain't lying.
I'm just saying. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it.
But it's not that time yet. It's the sexiest man alive.
No, we're not going to. If we can't do that, we can't do that.
Don't comment on any other woman because the real estate maybe. Mm-hmm. Might be
that is true.
Mm-hmm. You might be listening. Mm-hmm. But there's another story that I want to talk mm-hmm. about, John, and I'm a little bit torn about this because we all know that I am a Ram guy. I'm a Dodge guy. I like Dodge products. I've been driving a Ram since day one. I'm on my fourth Ram truck.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up with the Mustang, that iconic sound. You know, as a matter of fact, before I got drafted, the first car that I bought, it was a teal Mustang GT 5.0.
Yep.
It wasn't the slant back. It was the short back Mustang.
I know what you're talking about.
Man, it was a beautiful car. But there's been some rumors swirling around, John, that Mustang is about to make a four-door variant, a four-door sedan.
A four-door Mustang?
According to the post on Magazine Forum, Mustang6G.com, Ford shared vague plans for a new model at a dealer event last month. Although it's still entirely unsubstantiated.
Spit it out.
Spit it out. The big old word, spit it out. It's unsubstantiated by Ford. At this point, this idea might not be as wild as it might seem. And you know what the best part about this is? And I know he's probably listening, Steve. You and Steve, you need to give me a call, man.
Well, I need to
check this out. Because, like, I saw some of the renders, John. As a matter of fact, I put them up on my Twitter page. It doesn't look bad. It kind of reminds you of a Panamera, though. I'm not going to lie.
When you get at me, and because I was so disgruntled about a four-door Bronco, some things you just don't touch.
I understand that. But when you talk about, like the one of the reasons why Ford has I think that they're going to this is because they're changing their product line. They're getting rid of a lot of cars. I think, as a matter of fact, they're getting rid of the one that you drive, John. I think they're getting rid of that.
My understanding was, the Taurus, is that Ford is not going to make cars anymore at all, save for limited edition Mustangs.
Yes.
They're going to do nothing but SUVs and trucks.
That's you're right. You're correct. And for them to get into this market, I honestly think, man, that – and they're talking about having a VA turbocharge one as well. I honestly think that this would kind of combat
you know what?
That
that's
Panamera.
Not a, you know what? That's actually not a bad-looking
car. It's not. And I'm telling you, when you think
it's
about –
it's kind of a sporty –
A four-door. I wonder what they offered in a stick shift, though. If they offered in a stick shift, that would be awesome.
You know what? That's actually kind of an – I mean, if you like sedans, and I'm a sedan guy because it just fits me more, that's actually a way for me to get into a sedan and have a muscle car at the same time.
Yeah, but how big would it be? Because, you know
– Yeah, I don't know. It's probably going to be the size of a Fusion, I would think.
It would probably –
It's not going to be the size of a – it'd be on a Fusion platform and not a – Mustang platform.
I think that if Ford decides to do this car, John, they have to do it. It can look like a Mustang, but it has to be a little bit bigger version, especially if you're going to get into that four-door, that Panamera.
Actually, I like this
market.
Car more than I thought
it's
I might.
It's a Fusion, though, if you look at it.
Yeah,
to me, it reminds me of a
Steve
Panamera.
Steve Ewing wants me to drive that. I might drive that.
Steve, I know you're probably listening, man. We need to have
that
a conversation.
That metallic blue is actually good looking, too. I'd look at this. Yeah, okay.
That's a Ford Fusion. They're not fooling anyone.
Yeah, but it's got more of the Mustang lines.
Yeah, it's going to have a V8 in it. It's going to have a lot of power. So that might be something that – and it start. They say it's going to start at 26,000. I don't believe that.
I don't either. That's going to be 35
market,
and up.
Yeah, it's going to be. It's going to probably be a little bit more expensive than that. Especially
yeah, I mean, 26,000, do you get a radio with that?
No, Ford does a great job. I will say this. Ford does a great job of the amenities that they put in their vehicles for a reasonable price. They do that. So shout out to my man, Steve Ewing. Steve, holler at me, man. I need to know if this is going to happen.
Yeah. Holler at both of us. I drive this Mr. Ewing there.
You know, we kind of know it. We're family kind of, John. I think we can get away with calling him Steve. I think we can do that.
Yeah, but when you want something, you have
to. You got to switch it up. Huh? Hey, Mr. you know, I ain't think about it like that. Mr. Ewing.
Hey, ESPN did something. This is not a shock, I don't think, to you, that has made Falcons fans a little bit mad. What did ESPN do that has made Falcons fans mad now? That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.